find something very interesting in this chapter, and they are, the children of Israel are collecting funds for the temple. I couldn't help but think about the people that own this building when I was reading this text, quite frankly, because they've been raising funds to build a new building. And if you look at that chart after the service, you'll see that they've been raising funds and where they're at. And I couldn't help but think about it as I read through this passage as they were collecting for the temple. Look at First Chronicles 29, verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold, for things to be made of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for the things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, wood for the things of wood, onyx stones, and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house withal, the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then we see the next group of people. So that's the king. That's King David. And we're told that approximately, not in the day of the Bible here, but if we were to convert that into today's numerical dollar amounts, it would be around $100 million. That's a lot of money. $100 million. Now this is the king. This is the king of Israel. Notice what happens. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of the thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work. What's the next two words? Offered willingly. I've circled that word willingly in my Bible. The word willingly. This one's on. Okay, good. Thank you, gentlemen. They offered willingly. Notice verse... They offered willingly to the king. Is that what it says in verse 9? See, if you're following with me, I know it's snowy outside, and now we want to go play and make snowmen, but give me about 40 minutes of your attention. Give the Lord 40 minutes of your attention. They offered it willingly to the church. No, that's not what it says in my Bible. And I don't even think any of your Bibles would say that either. It says they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And so we see here that David sets the example, the leaders and the people follow. Let's go back to the text that we read now. You should be close by there. Notice some things about these verses that are very moving to me. First off, we see something here in verse where it says, strangers and sojourners. Look at in verse 15. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners. What does this mean? This means that they're not staying there long. They're only there for a short amount of time. Notice what it says at the end of verse 15. For our days on the earth are as a shadow. Our days on the earth are as a shadow. James talks about our days on the earth as being a what? Vapor. A vapor. a shadow. Our days are not long. What does this to me when I look at this? And the whole theme of this here, verses 10 to 16, is telling us here as we read this, that all of this wealth that they're talking about, all of this gold and silver, don't get lost in all of that. We think today, I have no gold, I have no silver, I have some wood maybe, you know. We have a house that's made out of wood, so there, everybody's got some wood. But we think, I don't have many, maybe you have silver in your teeth today, I don't know. Maybe you even have gold in your teeth, okay? Don't show me, you know. But we don't have this. Don't get caught up in that. Don't get lost in that. Notice as we read these verses here in verse number 10. It says here that David blessed the Lord, and blessed be thou, Lord God, of our Father forever and ever. Thine is the power, thine is the greatness, thine is the glory. Verse 12, both riches and honor come of who? Of the Lord. Today, what everything that we have, everything that we have, and think of this, we are a very wealthy people. When you look at the world as a whole, all of it comes from the Lord. We are not self-made. God has given us the ability to gain wealth and to gain and have a living. And then David goes on to say, and in thy hand is power and might. You know, I am a very weak individual, but God's hand is very powerful. I'm a very weak man, but as God enables me, we can have great strength to carry on as the Lord is working through us because he is powerful. And notice thou, now therefore, verse 13, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. You know, it just as I get to verse 14, I just pause and I reflect on that. But who am I? This is the King. But who am I? God, you are all-powerful. God, you are all-knowing. God, you have supplied everything. But who am I, and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Would you read these next few words, starting with the word for, and I'll stop you. For all things come of thee. Stop right there. Everything comes from the Lord. Everything comes from the Lord today. And what a blessing that is. And he talks about being strangers and sojourners and our life being a shadow. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all in thine hand. I want to ask you three questions. Don't answer them. Just think about this. Three questions relating to your life. Three questions relating to our possessions. Number one, am I the owner? Do I call, do I get to decide?
vehicle. Even if you've got all the payments paid off, I own that vehicle.
Well, in its purest form, you might think that, but that's God's vehicle. To me, I'm not going to give you the word yet because I don't want to get too far ahead, but God has given everything that God has given me, I have a responsibility. And many of you know what that responsibility is. God has loaned me so much and given me so much, but it all belongs to God. The clothes I wear, God's given them to me, and I'm thankful for what God has given me. The house I have to live in, God's given to me, but I have a responsibility. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Not only possessions and not only material, not only wealth, money, gold. Notice what it says in Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. That thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. That thou shalt remember that the Lord thy God hath given thee power to get wealth. I liken this to ability, strength, the know-how, the job that you have today. The job that you have takes some know-how. You have to have some smarts, if you will. You have to have strength. Some jobs require more physical manpower. Some jobs require a lot more brain power. But I didn't get that. You know what? I went to college. Some of you went to university. And I'm thankful for the education that I have, and I hope you're thankful for the education you have. But there is no one in this room that in yourself and in myself are able to get what we have apart from a holy God giving it to us. He gives us the ability. He gives us the know-how. He gives us the power. He gives us the strength. He enables us to go to work. He enabled us to go to work. Maybe you're retired. He enabled you to put in those 30, 40, 50, however many years you worked. God enabled us. One more, Psalm 24. Psalm 24. What we're trying to show, in just by way of introduction here, is that all that we have, it's not mine, like a toddler would say. It belongs to God. It belongs to the Lord. Now, I am responsible. But it says in Psalm 24, verse 1. This kind of wraps it up. Many of you have memorized this verse. The earth is the Lord's, and the, what's the next word? Fullness. The fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. So if we left anything out, God covers it right here. Everything belongs to God. Everyone belongs to God. Aren't you glad that God loves you? Think about all the billions of people that have been born from the beginning of Adam and Eve being born in Genesis chapter number 2 and being created until today, the 10th day. Is it the 10th day? Whatever day, I think it's the 10th day, of February 2019. Think about all the billions of people. We all belong to God. God loves us, and God wants us to spend eternity with Him. You see, this whole mentality, it goes all the way back to earning our way to heaven or being given heaven by grace. See, this whole thinking of, I can earn my own way in this world. No, we need God's help.
Just like we can't say, I can earn my way to heaven. I can pray my way to heaven, repeating prayers over and over again. I can be baptized to get me to heaven. No, God said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, this world belongs to the Lord, and he is concerned about every individual person. And he gives us everything that we need. So what's our role? If God is the owner, and he is, then what's our role? Quickly go to Matthew 25. We'll stay here. Matthew 25. We'll just go for a little bit longer. Matthew 25. What's our job? What's our responsibility? Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them whose goods? Circle that word right there. Think about that word right there. Okay? There's a man traveling from a far country. This is a picture of God. Okay? In this story, this parable. The man from a far country is God. God goes and he gives his servants, that's us. What does he give them? His goods. Again, everything I have comes from who? God. Every ability I have comes from who? God. Every job that I can do and sale that I can make or whatever your job is, everything that I've ever been able to do in my life, it is not because of me. It's because God gave me from his goods. God gave me some of his knowledge. God gave me some of his stash of materials. He owns it all. God gave me some of his whatever. And by the way, he never runs out. Everything that you've been able to do in your life, think about it. It came from his goods. Today, I'm on my way to heaven. Why am I on my way to heaven? Because I'm a pastor. No, that's not why I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven because God gave me his greatest good. He gave me his son, Jesus Christ. He came and was born of the Virgin Mary and lived a sinless life and died on an old rugged cross so that I could spend eternity in heaven. And if you're here this afternoon and you don't know that you're saved, you're not going to go to heaven because of some religious experience or being baptized. You're going to heaven because you would accept his goods, the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, John 3:16. You see, this man is traveling, and he gave of his servants his goods. Let's continue reading. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and unto another, are you there? Verse 15, 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. So let's review. A man traveling into a far country. He goes to his servants. He has 3 servants. He takes from his pocket. He takes from his chariot. He takes from his wagon. Wherever it's at, it doesn't really matter. But he takes from his possessions. And he says, okay, here's 5 for you. Here's 3 for you. And here's 1 for you. 2 for you, 1 for you. Sorry. The point is not how many, 5, 2, and 1. But it does give us an explanation. We have been given, all of us in this room have been given goods from God. Some, it might appear, that have more than others. And by the way, it never should matter how many of God's goods he's given us. It's whatever he gave us. The question is, what are we doing with it? And by the way, this is not only talking about money. This is talking about everything. Remember? Everything. So he gives 5, 2, and 1.
verse 16. Then he that had received the 5 talents. Went and traded with the same. And made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2 talents, we could say, he also gained other 2. So, 5 and 2, they went and took the goods that they were given from the man that was traveling. It's a picture of God. He gave them of his goods. They went and they doubled it. They took the 5 and made 5 more, and that has now they have how many? 10. They took the 2 and made 2 more and have how many? 4. Good. We got some mathematicians here on the second row. Brother Jonathan, these boys, they know their math. I heard them right away. 10, 4. Good buddy. Right? Here we go. With me? 10, 4. Buddy? No, that didn't really get that one. Okay. Anyway, they doubled it. Now, let's look at the other one. And likewise, but he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So the one that was given 1 took it and made how many? 0. So he still has how many? 1. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. He wants to find out. Okay. Hey, Mr. 5, how we doing? How we doing, Mr. 5? Hey, Mr. 2. Hey, Mrs. 2. How we doing? He wants to find out what's been happening. He's given them of his what? Goods. So was it theirs to begin with? Was it 5, 2, and 1? Was it their goods to start with? No. It was whose? God's goods. Today, everyone in here, you're a 5, 2, or a 1. That doesn't mean important. By the way, the Bible does tell us to whom much is given, much is required. So before you say, I want to be a 5, be careful. If you're a 5, you got a lot hanging on you. I just say, God, whatever you think I can handle, give it to me because I want to please you. So today you're a 5, 2, or a 1. That does not mean level of importance. But what it does mean is God has given us something of his goods. What are we doing with it? So let's keep going. Verse 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And so he has how many? 10. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. If God would only give me more, we might say. But here God says, you were faithful over few things. Where are we today? Say, I wish I had more money. Okay, my question is, are you faithful with the finances that God has given you to this point? He said, you are faithful over few things. I wish I had this, I wish I had that. Maybe that's not a good way of saying it. I'm just trying to illustrate it for us today. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Verse 21, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest under me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. So now he has how many? 4. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. So he has how many? One. Thank you. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received thine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken even that which he hath. What is our position? God has given us of his what? Goods. Our position is the word steward. Everyone in here today, we are stewards. Stewards. What is a steward? A steward is someone who acts as a supervisor or an administrator, as of finances or property for another. In other words, the steward is accountable to the owner. Who is the owner? God owns everything, remember? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So today, we, at 2019, we are stewards of God's goods, if you will. One of those things that God has given us is our body. God's given us this body. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, for ye are not your own. I want you to think about this. My body is 45 years old. It'll be 46 years old in June. How old is your body? Don't answer that question, but just think about it. God has given us this body that we have. This is not mine. What I put into this body, I need to make sure that it honors God. Where I take this body, I need to make sure that it honors God. What I do with these hands ought to honor God. You know, we can really honor God with our hands. Think about it. These hands that God has given me can, and I don't have one in my pocket right now, they can get a gospel tract out and hand it to somebody. You know what? These hands can, to someone who's having a difficult time, and I'll be kind to you, Jenkins. You can come up to someone in an appropriate way, and you can put your hand on someone, and you can just say, you know, I'm really praying for you. I have two hands. What have I used these hands for? You know, these hands can be used to cause a lot of pain and suffering as well. These hands can be used to physically harm someone. These hands can be used to abuse someone. By the way, God doesn't go for abuse, folks. These hands can be used to type things on a computer that are very dishonoring to God. These hands can be used to type a message on a cell phone that would be inappropriate or unkind, or go to a website that would be dishonoring to God. What I'm saying is these hands can be used to honor God, but they can also be used to dishonor God. I've been given these two hands, and these are not my hands. These belong to God. That means that if I'm using these hands in an inappropriate way, somebody used their hands to put this beautiful flower thing together. Amen? Beautiful. Sorry, I should have mentioned that earlier. Somebody had to use their hands. That doesn't just happen. God's given you hands to labor for him. God's given you hands to do your job. God's given you hands to shovel snow, hopefully with a shovel. God's given us hands to do great and mighty things. You think about it. During the week, when are your hands used for God? These hands are used to pick up food, but are they also used to pick up this kind of food and open it up? So glad I have hands. Aren't you glad you have hands? These are my hands that God has given me. They're God's hands, excuse me, that he's given me. What am I using them for? Sometimes hands can be used like that. Sometimes hands can be at the golf course too. It's called a golf clap, right? The other one was the hockey game. This was the golf game. What I'm saying is you have hands. What are we doing with our hands? I have 2 feet. Aren't you glad you have feet? I'm glad that my hands are where my hands are and my feet are where my feet are. Wouldn't it be something if we all walked on our hands all the time? Just try picturing that for a minute. I'm glad God put everything where God put everything. But you know what? These feet can be used to take me to some very unholy places. These are not my feet. See, stewardship is not just about when you get your paycheck, putting 10% in the offering, giving some to missions, et cetera, et cetera. Stewardship is this body. I have 2 feet. Can I ask you lovingly today, where have these feet taken you this week in service for God? Did your feet take you anywhere this last week to serve God? They should. Our feet should be taking us somewhere to serve God all the time. I have one mind. Sometimes I wonder about the one I have. It doesn't seem to be working very good. Philippians says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Think about the mind that we have, men and ladies here, young people here today. God has given you that mind. You know what? This mind can really think some very dark things. This mind, if it is infiltrated with the things of the world and nothing from God, some things that we come across daily, you know what? It's not that we're looking for it, it's there. Some things come, they just come our way. That's why it is vital. It is vital that we are putting things into this mind that honor God. Have you allowed your mind this week to feed on that which is pure and that which is holy and that which is just? Philippians 4:8, right? At the end of it, it says, think on these things. Boy, I tell you what, a lot of the time, what we're putting into our mind is not Philippians 4:8. Are you being a good steward of the body that God has given you? That's what we're supposed to be with what he's giving us. I am accountable to the owner. Number one, and stewardship, as we bring this to the close. Number one, the owner has rights. The steward has responsibility. What did you think of that? The owner has the rights. The steward has the responsibility. God has the right to give me or not give me any of his goods. And once he gives me of his goods, now it is my job to have the responsibility of what am I going to do with this hanky? Am I going to take care of it and get it washed and pressed and ready to go? God has given you everything that he's given you. Now it is my responsibility to take it all and do with it what God would want me to do. Whether it's my body, whether it's my possessions, whether it's my income, it doesn't matter. The point is this, it's my responsibility to do with what God has given me to do, to be responsible with it in a way that honors God. Like if we go back to 1 Chronicles and we remember the offering, we won't turn there, but it said that they gave the offering unto the Lord. To the Lord. Not to the king, to the Lord, the King of Kings. Number two, the steward is always accountable to the owner. Pastor Turner does not own you. You are not accountable to me. You're accountable to the owner. That's God. Number three. And it's, number three, it's each according to his ability. You might look across the auditorium and you see someone and you think, well, they have this talent and they have this ability. That's not what you're supposed to do. God's given you 5, 2, or 1. You notice the emphasis was not on 5, 2, and 1. It was on what they did with the 5, 2, and 1. Right? So, hey, if I'm a 1 today, praise the Lord, I am a 1. I want to take that 1 and I want to turn it into 2 by the grace of God. Maybe I'm a 2 today. I'm going to take that 2 and I'm going to turn it into 4 today by the grace of God. Maybe I'm a 5 today. I'm going to take that 5 and I'm going to turn it into 10 by the grace of God. The point is this, by our own ability, whatever God's goods that he's given us, I want you to imagine for a minute, someone comes and asks you to borrow your car. Borrow your car.
Pastor Mackay saw my car this morning at the office. Of course, with this weather, it's hard to keep a clean car, right? I won't ask, but I like to keep a clean car. I like to have it washed, keep it clean. I went to the Nissan dealer on Friday because I have, with my car, even since 2005, I had free car washes. I have no excuse that I have a clean car. It's part of the package. It's too cold to run the car wash. They probably won't run it all week next week either, which is a good thing. But they're not going to run it. Anyway, my car was dirty. Top to bottom. Pastor Mackay said, in almost 20 years, I've never seen your car that dirty. And I said, I don't know if that's an underhanded compliment or if I'm being mean. I took it personal. Because I take everything personal. Before I went home, I went and had my car washed. Took a picture of it and sent it to him. I kind of made sure that the things were dry, otherwise I wouldn't have got into my car. I want you to think for a minute that maybe you're that way. You like to keep a clean car inside and out. Someone borrows your car, full of gas, it's clean. John, you have a newer car. I borrow your car, that hot rod that you've got. Computer dash on there and everything, it's really cool. You gotta see it. There's nothing wrong with the car. I borrow it. We agree on the time when it's going to be returned. That time comes. Brother John looks outside, and I'm nowhere to be found. Whole day goes by. I finally call him. I say, John, sorry, I'm a day late. I'll be there later tonight. I'll honk when I get there. I pull up into John's parking lot. I beep the horn. Sounds like it's about to die. The horn even does. He comes out, and I say, here's the keys. Thanks for letting me use your car. And his mouth drops down to the ground. He sees up down the side of his car, 3 dents. His mouth just opens up. He goes over to the car. He opens the car door up, and there's McDonald's bags all over. There's Starbucks cups. John, man, thanks for letting me use your car. There's a spot of ketchup on the carpet. I left that there, John, in case you buy French fries next time. You can dip them in there. I know how much you like French fries. I don't even know if he likes French fries. The car's a mess. I don't need to go on any further with that. I called John up a week from then. I said, hey, Brother John, I need to borrow your car tomorrow. You know what? I have a feeling he's going to be very hesitant. I'm not talking pastoral relationship here where he may want to honor that, but I'm talking there's no way, pastor or not, he's going to say, you know what? My car's not available. I forgot to tell you, the car, I return it with no gas. I don't think Brother John's going to be so eager to let me drive his car again. Whose car did that belong to, me or John? It was John's. I mean, it was the Lord's, but for this illustration, it's John's. So he has the right to let me borrow his car. And when he hands me the keys, now I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to be very careful with that car, to keep it clean, to fill it up with gas, to return it. If not the same, better than when he gave it to me. I am a steward. The example that I gave you is someone who is a poor steward. When God entrusts each of us with his possessions, he expects a certain degree of responsibility and accountability. Considering the vast amount of wisdom in the scriptures on this topic, God has certainly provided the information needed to exercise good stewardship. God calls on us today to be a good steward. Steward every part of our life. Remember, man gave his servants of his goods. Today you might not even know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You might not be on your way to heaven. You need to recognize that God loves you and God wants to save you today.
Don't delay. Don't delay. You have one life. When you take your last breath, it will not matter what you gained on this earth. But what will matter is, what did you do with Jesus?